chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11. And I'll meet you there momentarily, Proverbs chapter 11. I began on Sunday evening a series on biblical leadership, the local church leadership. And the good Lord willing, I'm going to be here for several services, trying to do it on Sunday night and Wednesday night until I get through this. And this is something I've been working on for a long, long time. I've given part of this before many years ago, but I've been continuing to read and study, and I've put more things together with it. And God's really using this in my own heart and life. I want to be the man of God that God desires me to be. I want to be the leader that God has called me to be. And we're giving you Bible principles about what Bible leadership really is, and how to be a biblical leader, a local church leader. Whether you are or whether you're not, these principles apply to all of us, and we're asking God to speak to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and mercy in our lives. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight, and may we get much accomplished for the glory of God. Challenge us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're keeping notes with me, by the way, anything I preach, you can have the notes to it. If you'll just let me know, I'll be happy to give it to you, because this is a lot of notes I have here, and it's going to take us several services to get through. This is part two to this, and what I'm doing is I'm spelling out the word leadership. We've already talked about the L. Biblical leadership is about loving the Lord supremely. That's the L. Then we're currently under the E. And that is, Bible leadership is about exemplifying the Christian life. That those who are leaders should be out in front leading people, exemplifying the Christian life. Now, we got to two major thoughts, and I finished the first major one under this, and we'll start with the second one here, that a Bible leader should exemplify the Christian life in our actions. And we dealt with our language and our lifestyle. Now we turn that we should exemplify the Christian life in our attributes. In other words, our characteristics, what summarizes us. If you were to look at a Christian, these same things ought to summarize a Christian, but especially a leader. A leader should be summarized with these following attributes that I'm going to give you tonight. Number one under this, if you're following me, again, this is the E. We're spelling out an acrostic, leadership. The E is exemplifying the Christian life. The attributes under this, number one, we ought to have the attribute of humbleness. No doubt about it. Humility. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Look at Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. J. Oswald Sanders said, he is a leader who looks across at others, but not down. Pride ever lurks at the heels of power, but God will not encourage proud men in his service. Rather, he will oppose and obstruct them. But to the under-shepherd who is humble and lowly in heart, God will add power and grace to the work. Nothing aggravates God more than conceit, the sin that aims at seating the self upon a throne, making of God a secondary figure. That very sin changed the anointed cherub into the foul fiend of hell, talking about the devil. One man said, upon being introduced as the great doctor, he said, if I appear great in their eyes, the Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without him. The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, and he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this. You know, sometimes pride can start lurking up into our hearts. If you say, I've never dealt with pride, you just did. I'm talking about making that statement. The fact is, our human nature is to be proud. Look at me. Look how big I am. Look what God's using me to do. But understand that we are nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. He said himself, without me, ye can do nothing. And just like this man said, if I'm an axe, how can I boast for cutting down a tree? Because it takes hands to swing me. And without somebody swinging me, I could never cut the tree down. I am nothing outside of the hands of the woodsman. Charles Spurgeon said, success can go to my head and will unless I remember that it is God who accomplished the work, that he can continue to do so without any help, and that he will be able to make out with other means whenever he cuts me down to size. That's a pretty good statement. This statement here, when you try to be top dog, you don't create loyalty. If you can't give credit and take blame, you will drown in your inability to inspire. Now, friends, I'm going to tell you something. I've been doing a lot of reading, and these statements, don't just let them roll off your back. These are great statements. Pastor Clarence Sexton said, don't be impressed with yourself. We all need to hear that every now and then. F.B. Meyer said, the branch that bears the most fruit bows lowest to the ground. Mark Twain said, great things happen when you don't care who gets the credit. I mean, these are great statements. The first attribute that biblical leaders set the example in, every Christian is to set the example. These are really just Christian. They should be Christian attributes, but especially leaders. If anybody's going to lead in this, it ought to be leaders to set the example in humility. Secondly, the second attribute is friendliness. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 24. This is a brief point here, but Proverbs 18, 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, one of the encouraging things that I hear, I'm going to say quite often, when I'm visiting with visitors and other things like that, typically I try to ask or I'll try to say something like this, we're so glad to have you on Sunday. I sure hope our folks treated you well, treated you kind, and were friendly to you. I'm so encouraged to have folks who are visiting go overboard, so to speak, with the friendliness of our church. May I say this to you? That's a testament to you, precious people. But I want to say this to you. We have not arrived yet. We ought to constantly be friendly. Constantly. If anybody ought to find a friendly atmosphere, they ought to find it in the house of God. And God's people should be friendly. And God's leaders should exemplify this even above other people. You show me a leader who's not friendly, and I show you an ineffective leader. They are not using the influence God has given them if they are not friendly with people. We're looking at this, just spelling out leadership. The L, loving the Lord supremely. That's what leadership's about. He's not one of many. He's the one and only. The E, exemplifying the Christian life. A Bible leader sets the example. He's out in front in his actions. That's how he speaks and how he lives. In his attributes, who he is, his character, what summarizes him. He should be humble. He should be friendly. Number three, he should be teachable. This is found in Psalm 143, verse 10. Well, the Word of God says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Teach me to do thy will. Leaders can always improve and should constantly learn. If you think that you cannot learn anymore, you're drying up on the vine. One man said, and I quote, if I ever think I've finished growing, then I'm in trouble. You know what I'm learning in my leadership? I will never arrive. I will never arrive. Now, what I'm talking about is we can always get better. We can always learn. We're to be teachable. Don't be a know-it-all. You ever been around a know-it-all? It doesn't matter what kind of subject you bring up, they have the answer for it. I mean, no matter what you're talking about, they can do it better than anybody else. Let me tell you something, that's not a leader. That's not a leader. A leader is teachable. He's teachable. He realizes that he can learn some things. Number four, he's excited. This is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 11, where the Word of God says this. In Romans 12, 11, it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. J. Oswald Sanders said, do we show the zeal of salvation in Christ, or is our demeanor morbid and sad? Enthusiastic leaders generate enthusiastic followers. You ever been or seen a leader that, hey, follow me, this is exciting stuff, friend. I mean, here we go now. Listen to me. I'm not saying that constantly you're jumping out of your skin or constantly you're just so excited. But friends, we have the opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be a little excited about that. We ought to be a lot excited about that. And let me say this. If you're not excited, fake it. Fake it. Fake it. You say that's ridiculous, then let me be ridiculous. If you're not excited, fake it. I mean, act like you enjoy serving Jesus Christ. Who in the world would want to be and serve somewhere when the leader constantly has a frown on his face? And he's constantly just going around. I'm telling you, the world's, I mean, it's turmoil. I mean, America's going down the tubes. We might as well just close the doors around this place. Can I say this? Get over it. Get over it. You know what a Bible leader does? He's excited about what God's given him to do. This is part of exemplifying the Christian life. Number five, letter E if you're following me. We're just looking. Now, by the way, this is not exhaustive. I'm kind of just sending you on a journey, you see. I'm not going to give you every characteristic. Aren't you glad, right? I'm just kind of whetting your appetite a little bit. Leaders should set the example in being humble. Leaders should set the example in being friendly. Talk to people. Don't make them talk to you. You talk to them. Be the first to speak. We're so glad you're here. God bless you. Have a smile on your face. Leaders set the example in being teachable. They never think they've arrived, but they know they can glean and they keep learning. They set the example in being excited. And number five, letter E, they set the example in being a forgiving person. They forgive other people. The Bible teaches this in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 30, where the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I like what one man said, and I quote, he said, he who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself. Did you hear that? What's that mean? That means this. You're going to do something one of these days that you need somebody to forgive you for. You probably already have. And if you don't forgive others, you are burning and breaking the bridge that you expect others to do for you. Now, I'd like to tell you that I've never done anybody wrong. I'd like to tell you that I've never said anything ill to somebody and that I've never made a mistake and I've never made it to where somebody had to forgive me. But friends, I'd be foolish if I said that. There's even times in my own home where I've had to ask my children, forgive me. I've had to ask my wife, honey, please forgive me. I was wrong. Let me say this to you. Bible leaders know when to ask for forgiveness, but they also know when to give it. A Bible leader will not hold a grudge, is what I'm trying to say. It's impossible. You cannot lead and hold a grudge. One man said, just remember that it's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you that matters. And I say amen to that. Amen to that. Forgiving. I'm going quick tonight because I want to get through this point. We're just looking at Bible leaders, biblical leadership, local church leadership, whatever you want to call it. really Christians, this is good for all Christians, but we're applying it to leadership. They exemplify the Christian life in who they are. Who are they? They're humble. They're friendly. They're teachable. They're excited. They're forgiving people. Letter F, they're pure people. Purity. The Bible teaches in the book of Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 4, the Word of God teaches this. It says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 28, the Word of God teaches this. Matthew 5, 28 says this. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So in Hebrews it talks about the bed, the physical act. In Matthew it talks about the thought. So this purity here, what I'm talking about, I like what this man said. The spiritual leader should be a man of unchallengeable morality. Leaders set the example in sexual purity. They do not live a loose life in their body nor in their mind. Jeff Fugit said, and I quote, all moral failure begins with the thought life. You know what a Bible leader does? I'm not saying he doesn't struggle. If you're here tonight, especially a man, and you say, I never struggle with thoughts like that, then stay away from me. I'm telling you, my friends, you're made that way. It is a battle. But Bible leaders do not let the birds build a nest in their hair. They set the example in purity. They are pure people, not only in body, but in mind. Let me ask you a question. How's your thought life? How's your thought life? Is your thought life pure? If you're a leader, it is. Is your body pure? In a world where I'm talking about pastors and full-time Christian servants are stepping out of the ministry really by the drove, so to speak, because of impurity. This thing that was going on many months, I don't even remember the name of it, where they were keeping up with all these names of these people, that they were visiting these sites and so on. And it came out with all these Christians, all these pastors, all these preachers who were going to this ungodly site and viewing things apparently. I don't remember all the details. I'm going to say something here. God help a pastor and a leader when he stands before his people to be pure in thought and pure in body. God help us with this. I'm reminded of the story where there was a preacher. He was out of town preaching a meeting. It's been many, many years ago. He was staying in a motel room alone, and he was channel surfing, apparently, and he was watching filth. Now, he was a preacher, but he was watching filth. This ungodly motel was keeping records of who was watching that filth inside the room. And that ungodly motel was sending prostitutes to the doors, knocking on the doors of those that they knew were watching that filth inside the room. And that preacher was watching that ungodly stuff, and a knock came on his door. And when he opened his door, there stood a lady who was obviously not there for the right reason. And that preacher invited her into his room. And you know the rest of the story. You say, that can never happen to me. And you're foolish. You're foolish. Because you're a human being. And if you trust yourself, you're halfway gone. Did you hear what I just said? May I say this to you? I don't trust me. And you better not trust you. Bible leaders understand something. There's a war raging. It's a sexual battle. And Bible leaders will not succumb to it. They will be pure in their mind and pure in their body. That's not easy preaching, but that's pretty good stuff right there, friends. Let me give you the next one, letter G. Another thing they are is unified. They're unified together. Psalm 133 in verse number 1. Psalm 133 in verse number 1. You don't need to turn to it for time's sake. Just let me turn to it. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Teams that don't bond can't build. At a Midwestern fair, there were spectators gathered for an old-fashioned horse pull. That's an event where various weights are put on a horse-drawn sled and pulled along the ground, just one horse at a time, you see. The grand champion horse pulled a sled with 4,500 pounds on it. The runner-up was close with 4,400 pounds on it. Some of the men wondered what the two horses could pull if they were hitched together instead of just pulling alone. Separately, they totaled about almost 9,000 pounds separately, 4,500 and 4,400. But when they hitched them together and they began to work together, they pulled over 12,000 pounds. That's astonishing, isn't it? What made the difference? Unity. They were working together. You know what Bible leadership's about? It's never a one-man show. It's always a team effort. May I say this to you? Our Cadets for Christ program is going on right now. Let me tell you why. Because there's a team of people out there working it. Our buses don't drive themselves. And they cannot leave this property without at least two other adults on that bus, is my understanding. And most of the time we have more than that on those buses. When those bus kids start coming in here, isn't that a blessing? To watch them bus kids come in, they've been dealt with in children's church, they've been saved and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why, because some bus captain went out and knocked on that door. Or somebody went knocking on that door. It's not a one-man show, it's a team. And I'm telling you, my friends, listen, you're not working for me. We're working together. We're serving the Lord. You do your part, I do my part, and together, unified, we can do so much for the glory of God. Part of Bible leadership, it's about being unified, unity. That ought to be a characteristic of a Christian, but especially of a leader. Let me give you two more, and I'm done tonight. Letter H, I like this one. This one, now you understand, this is not exhaustible. There's so many other things I could bring out here. I'm just kind of whetting your appetite a little bit. That leaders exemplify, they set the example of who a Christian is and who they are. Who is a Bible leader? What ought to be said for the same thing of who's a Christian? Who's a Christian supposed to be? But especially a leader, he ought to be humble. He ought to be friendly, teachable, excited. He ought to forgive others. He ought to be pure. He ought to be unified. Letter H, he ought to be approachable. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says this, "And he, Jesus, ordained 12 that they should be with him." He ordained them first that they be with him. You know, a leader is one who's available to his people. Someone said this. Listen to this statement. Shepherds smell like sheep. Now that's a simple statement, but that is a powerful thought. This is a great statement to apply to leaders. Leaders should have the smell of those upon them that they're leading because they are connected with them. You ever seen a leader who's not approachable? You ever seen a leader that you're scared to talk to? You ever seen a leader who's too busy for you? By the way, if I have ever given you that impression, I apologize sincerely. I mean that. Because I want to be here for you. And if I'm the shepherd that God has called me to be, I will smell like sheep. I'm approachable. Don't ever be somebody up here who people just can't feel like they can come and approach you. You know one thing I appreciate so, so very much about Preacher Lashley? He's here tonight. God bless him. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate while I was on staff here and all these, and even today. I think I did this today, or it's one day this week. His door's open. I can go right there to his door, knock on it, walk right in. He's yet to throw me out. Now, he may do that the next time I come in, but he's yet to throw me out. He's always available to me. I call him. I counsel with him. Preacher, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? Hey, that's invaluable to me, friends. That's invaluable. And I appreciate that he's not too busy for me. I appreciate that about him. I appreciate that about you, preacher. God bless you. I mean that. And I want to be there for you. And whoever you lead, you should be there for them. That includes your children. That includes your wife, men. That includes your Sunday school class, your bus route. Be there for them. Be approachable. Then we close with this thought. And this is a good way to close this part. Now, again, this is letter I. I could go on for every letter in the alphabet and beyond, but I'm going to stop with this one. And then we'll pick up with the A, God willing, on Sunday night. Here's the final thing that I've put in my notes that we ought to set the example in, and that is we ought to be honorable people. Or you can put the word integrity. The word integrity or honorable. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 3. I do want you to see these verses. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 3. I want to show you three verses here, and we're starting to come down for a close. Proverbs 11:3 says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Flip over to chapter 19, same book of the Bible, verse number 1. "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Look at chapter 20, verse number 7. "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." A leader should be an individual of integrity, honesty, honorableness, character. Abraham Lincoln made this statement. Listen to this statement. Some of you have already heard this, but let me say this again. Abraham Lincoln said, "When I lay down the reins of this administration, I want to have one friend left, and that friend is inside myself." Friends, that's a powerful statement. It's been said if you cross the line of your values, whether it's by an inch or by a mile, you're still out of bounds. Well, it's just an inch. A leader doesn't look at it that way. A leader says, "I want to be on the straight and narrow. I don't want to be an inch or a mile. I want to be all the way in, not even an inch off." A person of integrity. Roy Disney, Walt's brother and partner, said, "It's not hard to make decisions when you know what your values are." In other words, here's the point. Don't be for sale. Be a leader with integrity. I was at a meeting yesterday at Crown, and I'm on the board there and so on. And Dr. Clarence Sexton made this statement just yesterday. He said, "God couldn't honor anything less than integrity." God couldn't honor anything less than integrity. Now we're looking at this E, that a leader exemplifies the Christian life in his actions, his language, his lifestyle, in his attributes. He's humble, he's friendly, he's teachable, he's excited, he forgives, he's pure in body and mind, he's unified with the body, he's approachable, he doesn't hi-hat people, he's honorable. I want to give you some closing statements here. One man said, "A leader focuses his subordinates on their common goal and inspires them by his own devotion to achieving it." Jonathan Edwards said, "I go out to preach with two propositions in mind. First, every person ought to give his life to Christ." Jonathan Edwards says, in other words, he's saying, "When I preach, I have two propositions in mind. Number one, that every person ought to give his life to Christ. Number two, whether anybody does or not, I'll give him mine. That's what leaders do. If nobody does it right, I will. If nobody's going to do it right, I will. That's a biblical leader. He's willing to stand alone and set the example. Hey, to lead can be a lonely place. You understand what I'm saying to you? Not everybody can lead. Leadership is a lonely place because you're out in front. And you have to be willing to set the example. And you have to be willing to take some knocks. The devil will try and get in. Talking about the local church now. The devil will try to get in as high on the list as possible. Not that somebody's higher on the list than others, but what I'm talking about is if he can get into the pastor, he will, okay? If he can't get in there, he'll try to get in the staff or the deacons or the Sunday school teachers or the bus workers or the choir. He's going to try to get, listen to me, please, he will try to get in this leadership, he'll try to get in this church through the leadership. Mark it down. It's how he works. You know what a Bible leader does? If the devil gets in this church, it'll never be by me. Amen. You exemplify the Christian life. This is the L, loving the Lord supremely, the E, exemplifying the Christian life. We'll pick up Sunday night with the A. You want to know what it is? Be back Sunday. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for this, that we're studying together, this issue of Bible leadership, what it means to be a leader. And Lord, we know that Bible leaders are those who love you supremely. And we know that Bible leaders are those who exemplify the Christian life. They set the example for who and what a Christian is to be. May you challenge us tonight. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I never want to take anything for granted. I think you're used to that by now. But as your pastor, I never want to take anything for granted. I do not know your heart. I can guess, but I can't see your heart. Do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? Are you born again? If you can say with a surety that you're on your way to heaven, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Hey, don't ever get used to being able to raise your hand to that question. It's a blessing. If you couldn't raise your hand, come let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Really, the invitation throughout this series is going to be simple. Are you a leader? If you are, what kind are you? Are you loving the Lord supremely? Are you exemplifying the Christian life? Is your actions, your language, the way you talk, how you speak, your lifestyle, how you live, is that setting the Bible example? What about your attributes? Are you humble? Are you friendly? Are you teachable? Are you excited about what God's given you? Is there somebody you need to forgive? Are you pure in body and mind? Are you unified? Are you approachable? Are you honorable? Are you a person of integrity? I'm going to have Brother Gary just sing one verse. If God is speaking to your heart, you want to be a leader that God wants you to be. For God to change or to help or to encourage, then you get out of your seat and come. If you need to be saved, you come. Father, take it and use it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If you want to get out of your seat and come and ask God to help you be a leader that he wants you to be, would you come now? Would you do it as he sings? Come on.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasure.
singing it. This is what we've been preaching about tonight.
Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness. Come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
Brother Gary will come and read the missionary letters, please.
If you want to take your prayer list out tonight, turn to that middle section, which has the missionaries listed. The first is Ron Smith. He and his family are working in California City, California, and they work with the military. They have a church. They mentioned they're sending 21 young people to camp this summer. Asked us to pray. These are all unchurched or primarily unchurched kids that come on Wednesday nights. And then they minister also in the California City Correctional Center, and they are working there. About 400 men they are dealing with there. Ask prayer for that ministry also. Secondly, in Chile, the Holt family, they have a new college, about 3 years old now, the Chile Baptist College. They have 28 students there, asking prayer for that college. And then they are going on furlough in the very near future, and will be here in the States, so be praying for them. Finally, the Sterin family, they are about to hand over their church to a national pastor, Takashi, and asking prayer for that transition as the American missionary turns it over to the national. And then this is an unusual prayer request. I had to read this three times before I figured out what it was. Pray for wives for Takashi, Shoshi, and Koji, all right? And I thought, what in the world? These are three of their preacher boys, one of their future pastor, and they're praying for godly women to be their mates as they pastor these churches, as they serve the Lord. So those are the requests for tonight.
If you'll keep this prayer sheet out here just for a moment, this is our week to stay in the auditorium. Next week, the good Lord willing, we'll be up and running with our Sunday school prayer meeting, and we're excited about that. I would like to ask you, if you'd like to find a prayer partner, I'm not trying to force that on you tonight, but if you're sitting beside somebody that you feel comfortable praying with, or if you want to jump across the aisle there, with somebody, that will be good. And what I would like to do is I'd like for this section to my right here and the balcony, so the balcony and my right section here, if you all will pray for the back panel, those that are in the hospital, the shut-in for this week, Miss Gladys Davis, the nursing home, Brother Marty Scroggs is the active military personnel, and pray for our government officials. So that's the right side and the balcony. I'd like for the center section here to pray for the inside right side where the missionaries are. If you'll pray for the missionaries and praying for the laborers to the deep south, the states of Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, and Mississippi, and pray for our Truth Bible Clubs, that the Lord will touch those and breathe upon those. Especially, you'll notice the bolded one for this week is the Bible Club there at Ridgeview. Then to my left over here, the organ side, if you will pray through the middle center there, our Sunday school, the fourth grade department, those working there, our church ministry, the international ministry, those working there, bus route number 7, those working there, the staff member of the week, and also the deacon of the week, if you'll pray for that. And then once we have some folks come up here to pray tonight, when they begin to pray up here, I'd like us to all gather to pray for what they're praying for. So what I'd like to do is, Brother Eugene Radford, I'd like for you, in about 5-6 minutes or so, if you'll come to pray for the upcoming mission trip to Fiji. You'll notice that's on the interior right here. What I'd like to do, Brother Jeff Roten, sir, if you wouldn't mind, I'll have you come immediately after Brother Radford, and I'd like for you to pray for God's provision. You'll notice that on the interior bottom there. Brother Ford Davis, if you wouldn't mind, I'm going to have you to close everything tonight. by praying for the ladies' meeting this Friday night. Okay, so Brother Eugene Radford, the Fiji trip, Brother Jeff Roten, praying for God's continued provision, and then Brother Ford Davis, the ladies' meeting on Friday. So about 5 or 6 minutes right now. One of you lead in prayer there, just right there in your seat. Again, to my right, you all have the hospital list and the balcony, that section, the center section, the missionary section here, and my left, the center section, the Sunday school section there, and then Brother Eugene Radford will come up here and start here momentarily, okay? Let's pray together. I appreciate you being here tonight.